Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is John Cahill, the Republican candidate for New York Attorney General. Cahill, a former chief of staff to Governor Pataki and commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation, is hoping to unseat first-term incumbent Eric Schneiderman. John Cahill, welcome to the program.
Oh, good to be with you, Alan. Thank you.
Nobody could say that they haven't gotten a real heavy hitter to run for this office. No, you are. You are. And, you know, your background is impressive and what you've done is impressive. And, you know, a lot of people shy away from these kinds of elections. But you took up the cudgels and you're doing it. Why?
Well, I'm excited about it, Alan. As you, mentioned, I did spend 12 years in government, and I certainly know the value and the importance of public service. It was really a tremendous experience for me to serve in the Pataki administration, both at DEC and in the governor's office, and you get to see how government can work and what it can do and how it can make the lives of New Yorkers better. And frankly, when I look at the Attorney General's office in the last 3 years, I don't see somebody who really has made a substantial difference, whether it's in the workings of the government in Albany or the lives of the people throughout the state. We've not had an active Attorney General's office for the last 3.5 years. And so I decided, as much as a challenge as it may be to go out there and to win a race, I think it's worth the effort, and I think it's a very, very winnable race, Alan. So I've been crisscrossing the state, talking to people from Binghamton to Buffalo and certainly on Long Island in the suburbs, and it's going very, very well. I'm really excited about the last 3 months of the campaign. There's going to be a lot of issues we're talking to the New York public about. So I think they'll have a real choice in the Attorney General's race this year.
Well, we see that the Attorney General, the last couple of times, has become governor of New York. Does that ever cross your mind?
No, as a matter of fact, just the opposite, Alan. I really do think that somebody once told me, one of those predecessors said, John, AG really doesn't stand for Attorney General, it stands for aspiring governor. And that's a problem because, the Attorney General has enormous powers in its own position and its own independence in that position. And if people believe that you're taking action or not taking action based upon your political aspirations, as opposed to what you believe are in the best interests of New Yorkers, I think that compromises the office. And I think we've seen that too much, that playbook about using the office as a platform for a political ascendancy as opposed to serving as the people's lawyer. So, I'm not running for governor. I'm running for Attorney General. That's where the focus of this race should be at. And it really should not be seen as a stepping stone. When you look about who served in those types of offices, Alan, they really served with distinction. Louis Lefkowitz certainly is an Attorney General who never ran for governor, but certainly brought the level and the esteem of that office to considerable heights. And you look at Mr. Morgenthau in New York. While he ran for governor, that was before he was Manhattan DA. He was focused on one job, and that was serving the interests as the Manhattan District Attorney's office. And I think that's what we need in an Attorney General, somebody who's not looking to run for higher office, but who is looking to really serve the people of the state of New York as its lawyer, that's wanting to fight for integrity in government, fight consumer abuse, and fight, be an advocate for the people of New York. And that's what I would intend to do as Attorney General.
Okay, so John Cahill, let's cut right to the chase. You know what I'm going to ask you. You could ask me what to ask you, but I'm going to ask you about the Moreland Act Commission.
Sure.
Obviously, Eric Schneiderman, the present Attorney General, he deputized all those Moreland commissioners to go out there and so that they could get over to the legislature. We all know that. How do you see Schneiderman's mix here?
Well, here's the thing. You're right. So the Moreland, everybody, focused initially on the Moreland Commission, Alan. And, as you mentioned, that commission set up by the governor wouldn't have the authority to go to the legislature. And that was the precipitating factor for Governor Cuomo to establish the Moreland Commission. So what he did, he used a different provision of the law to go ahead and deputize the members as assistant attorney generals, which gave them much broader power. And under that provision of law, these deputy attorney generals, assistant attorney generals, had an obligation to report to the Attorney General on a weekly basis. And the Attorney General was separate and independent under that provision of the executive law. So clearly, the Attorney General had an absolute responsibility to know what was going on with his assistant attorney generals in the Mueller Commission. He was required to get weekly updates under that provision of law. Why didn't the Attorney General step up when there was clearly political interference on the ongoing work of the investigation? Why did he remain silent? Was he complicit? Was it the fact that some of the individuals or some of the entities that the Mueller Commission wanted to look at were also donors to Eric Schneiderman's campaign? I think the New York public deserves to know that. You know, and now he's hiding behind the issue of the Attorney General. The U.S. Attorney's Office has basically called for everybody to be silent. But, you know, he wasn't silent during the course of the Mueller Commission. He spoke out several times in the press about it. And it really has, once again, undermined people's confidence in Albany. I think all of us, including myself, Alan, when it was announced by the governor and the Attorney General a little over a year ago, the fact that the Mueller Commission was given these unique powers through the deputization of its members, people really believed that we were going to get to the bottom of the ongoing corruption in Albany. But instead, we have a U.S. Attorney's Office investigating the investigation of improper activities in Albany. It seems only in Albany that that could happen. And the Attorney General has to be held accountable for that, Alan. It really did become his commission upon the execution of the executive order. He allowed it to continue to be the governor's commission, but in reality, all these members had a responsibility to report to the Attorney General. He had to know about the ongoing interference, but we all know he did absolutely nothing to stop it. He certainly did nothing publicly, as opposed to when we see where the U.S. Attorney very publicly challenging any interference ongoing now. The Attorney General either remained silent or was complicit in the interference by outside groups.
So this is just fascinating, and it leads to about three different roads. John, you're not old enough to remember when Hoot Gibson and Ken Maynard would come to the end of where all the cowboy heroes would get together, and they'd go down three different roads. So I don't know which road to go down here. I'm sure that's hard to follow. In any case, let's go to Andrew Cuomo here. I know that this is a raise for Attorney General. Nevertheless, when Cuomo closed down the commission, right, should the Attorney General have said, wait a second, those people are also mine, this was shared, therefore you can't close down this commission?
That's absolutely right, Alan. I mean, in essence, what Governor Cuomo did was fire the assistant attorney generals. They all reported not to the governor's office, but they reported as assistant attorney generals to the attorney general. And if you ever took a chance to look at the briefs that were submitted by the Attorney General's office when there was litigation with respect to the quashing of the subpoena, the Attorney General rightfully goes at great lengths about asserting the independence of the Attorney General's office from the executive. But he certainly didn't assert that independence once the Governor Cuomo called for the end of that commission. You know, as you know, Alan, those executive orders are still, they haven't been rescinded. Theoretically, at least, the Mueller Commission and these deputies are somehow in some sort of purgatory, I guess. I don't know. No one knows exactly what their status is.
So he could pull it. Actually, theoretically, he could pull them all into a room and say, you're still on the job.
Yeah, theoretically. You know, that hasn't happened, but there is nothing, as far as we know, that would basically impede for the Attorney General from continuing on its work.
Well, we keep hearing leaks that suggest that he, Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General, is cooperating with Preet Bharara. Do you see anything that might affect your potential election coming out of this?
You know, I can't assume to what the U.S. Attorney's Office is going to do on this case, Alan. All I am focused on is that, you know, once again, Eric Schneiderman had an opportunity to stand up for integrity in Albany, to stand up and really assert the influence and the role of the Attorney General. This isn't the first time. If you look back and when we had the attempt to silence two women who were sexually harassed by a member of the New York State Legislature. Instead of standing up and doing the right thing and calling out the Assembly and calling out that type of conduct, which was not a first time by any stretch of the imagination, the Attorney General's office was willing to go along with an arrangement to pay to silence these women. That's reprehensible. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Attorney General, again, should have been standing up to be the person of integrity in government, and he was totally absent, silent, complicit. You know, he can choose his name, but he certainly didn't stand in the way of continuing corruption in Albany, Alan. And so this example with the Moreland Commission is once again pointing out that the Attorney General was way too silent or complicit in really getting to what the heart of that office is about, and that's enforcing the laws of the state of New York and making sure that we have a government that we can have confidence in and we can be proud of.
Okay, so let's assume for a second that you get elected and you become the Attorney General. Will it be a partisan battle between you and the Democratic governor, or will you be there to sort of keep an eye, and would balanced government between the Republicans and the Democrats be preferable?
You know, Alan, I spent 12 years in government, and I think it's fair to say that I was never seen as this partisan individual in government.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that in order to accomplish things, you know, there has to be workings on both sides. That being said, the Attorney General is in an office where, frankly, it shouldn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. You're there to enforce the laws of the state, and you're going to hold accountable Republican or Democrat when there is an attack on the integrity of government. And if you come from the position that you're not there for politics, but you're there for enforcing the laws of the state, that you don't have a political agenda, or you're not seeking political ascendancy, you're not keeping the boys and girls that you worked with in various stages of your career in Albany happy, you come with the agenda that you're going to be open and fair-minded in the implementation of justice. That's what the Attorney General should be. So, again, I'm not some partisan Republican. I'm proud of my roots in my party and all that. But when it comes to government working, you have to work with both sides. You have to be fair to both sides, and you have to be willing to impose justice on both sides, Alan, when you're the Attorney General of the state of New York.
Now, Elliot Spitzer made his bones going after some of the major corporate types, insurance barons and banks and others. You're Republican. Republicans have close ties in many cases to these folks. Would you be willing to do it if you saw wrongdoing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, listen, I don't think anybody could stand by and see abuses in our financial service industry, people taking advantage of less informed individuals, whether it's on the trading or black pools or any of that, Alan. Absolutely. I have those people that are engaged in improper activity on Wall Street cause enormous harm and havoc to so many in New York and through many around the country. So that being said, would I look to basically make a career in just holding press conference after press conference? You know what's interesting about the whole, debacle on Wall Street, and, you know, one week we have a $13 billion settlement, an $8 billion settlement. The numbers seem to be mind-numbing over the last couple of years, Alan. But you know what we haven't had? We haven't had personal accountability. You know, when you look back in the savings and loan crisis in the 1980s, over 1,000 people were either convicted or pled to felonies. Mm. We haven't had one person held accountable, despite the fact that there are billions and billions of dollars of fines. Well, who did all of this? If this actually happened, who is going to be held accountable? So it's easy to get, seems to be able to get up there and hold a press conference, and we have another mind-numbing figure of some billions and billions of dollars. But it doesn't seem to be real direct personal accountability to those that were involved in the wrongdoing. And I don't think that's appropriate. I think we need to find the people that were actually responsible, if in fact there was wrongdoing. There had to be people behind that wrongdoing, and we should hold those individuals accountable. That hasn't happened.
We're talking to John Cahill. He's the Republican Attorney General candidate. John, you've made education an issue, including the Common Core, a campaign topic. So why? What do you have to do with schools?
Well, I think that that education is a civil rights issue of our time. And I believe that we do have a requirement under our Constitution, Alan, to provide our children with a sound quality education. And too often that fails in our society. I mean, you only have to look at the schools, and particularly in our urban areas, that generation upon generation have failed our children. And we're not meeting our constitutional requirement, as well as our moral requirement, to give these individuals, very often in poor neighborhoods, an opportunity to succeed. And frankly, I am very proud of my role that I play with Governor Pataki and the establishments and charter schools in New York, and making sure that program stayed effective and active and grew during our tenure and thereafter. And when I saw the attack on charter schools this past, you know, winter, if you would, in January and February by Mayor de Blasio, I thought that was absolutely a time for the Attorney General to step up and say, we're not foreclosing that avenue of opportunity to children in our inner city schools. We're not going to force them back into failing education. We're going to give them and the parents the opportunity to make a different choice and to go proceed with charter schools. I felt the same way about the education tax credit that keep private parochial rabbinical schools as an avenue of choice for our parents and for our children to give them an opportunity to succeed. So I do believe education is a role of the Attorney General because it goes to our constitutional rights, it goes to our civil rights, it goes to our value of society. And we should have an Attorney General who is willing to speak out on the civil rights issue of our time. The Attorney General hasn't said a word on charter school. He hasn't said a word on education tax credits. He again continues to be silent on a critical issue for New Yorkers.
The governor came out with his SAFE Act after the terrible events in Connecticut. And this has gotten a lot of pushback, especially upstate.
Yep.
So, you know, where are you?
Well, on the SAFE Act, the way the SAFE Act was passed, what the SAFE Act did and didn't do made it a bad piece of legislation, Alan. When you look at the SAFE Act and how it was passed in the middle of the night on a message of necessity without giving it the appropriate debate, that's not the way things in Albany should work. The issue of gun control and gun regulation is a very sensitive issue, obviously, in many corners of the state. And people were, frankly, denied the opportunity to be heard about their concerns about the SAFE Act. And my also concern about the SAFE Act is that it failed to address an underlying issue of the mental health crisis in our state and in our country. You know, the incident, the horrible incidents in Connecticut and so many of these other incidents around the country are driven by people who are not mentally stable. And while we're taking, challenging the premise of gun ownership and Second Amendment rights, we're not challenging the whole issue as to whether we're doing enough on mental health issues in our state. I don't think we are. I think that when we were looking at something in the wake of a Newtown, we should have put mental health front and center. Instead, we put a piece of legislation that was passed in the middle of the night that really made the focus of these crimes, you know, lawful gun owners in many parts of the state, as opposed to getting to guns in our urban areas, which, you know, we've been fighting very hard, in certainly in the Governor Pataki's administration, to get illegal guns off the streets of our urban areas. And again, to go back and focus on what are we doing? Are we doing enough with mental health issues to protect our society and to make sure that those people who are suffering from mental health issues get the treatment that they need and are not posing a risk to the rest of society? The SAFE Act did none of that.
You don't have as much money in the bank for, I'm not talking about you personally, but
in terms
of the campaign, he's got more money going in. Have we got to the point where you can buy an election?
I hope that's not the case. I'm not going to have as much money as my opponent in this race. I know that. I have been very happy with the fundraising that we were able to achieve in a very short period of time, Alan. You know, I got in the race on Mother's Day in the first filing. I had over $1 million, and I think that shows the level of support and energy in my campaign. And, the fundraising is continuing to go well. So I'm just going to go out there and make my case to the voters and to the donors, to the supporters about my message, about how I can win, why I'm going to win, and then at the end of the day, do my best. So I'm not going to be out there, I'm not going to, whatever he's got, $8, $9 million or $6 million, whatever the number is, I'm going to focus on what I can do, on raising the money that I need to get my message out, and I'm hopeful and I'm confident that I'll be able to do that.
The Attorney General defends the state government.
Mm-hmm.
We have had situations in which the AG, for example, and the governor or the governmental agencies don't agree. Do you feel you would have to defend what you would consider to be indefensible?
During my time as secretary, we dealt with the attorney, and also as DC, we dealt with the Attorney General's office, quite a bit. And for the most part, I can't really remember maybe one or two instances in which Elliot Spitzer or Dennis Facco didn't agree to represent our office. So those are far, unique instances, Alan. I mean, you are, as Attorney General, you're sworn to uphold the laws in the state of New York. You're responsibility to defend the interests of the executive is certainly one of your primary responsibilities. So I think it would be very hard pressed to say how I wouldn't be in a position to basically defend the executive and to defend the laws and the Constitution of the state of New York. I don't really see that as an issue.
So taking gun control, for example, mm-hmm. even though you have issues with the way it was passed, if that came up, would you have to excuse yourself, or would you in fact defend the state passing the law?
You have to be in a position to defend the laws of the state of New York. I don't believe in, I would believe in weighing in before the adoption of the law, and I would have weighed in heavily as opposed to the adoption of the SAFE Act. But that's the role of the Attorney General is not to make laws, right? It's to defend the laws of the state of New York. And I don't believe in having, if you would, an activist attorney general, whereby an attorney general can decide which laws he's going to defend and which laws he's not. It has to be under very unique circumstances that the attorney general decides not to represent the state in litigation. That is a primary responsibility of that office.
New York is getting bluer and bluer all the time. And you're red. I don't mean left red. I mean you're a Republican. So I've always thought that's kind of funny. But is it getting harder to recruit Republicans to run for these offices?
Well, I thankfully I'm not actually in the business of having to actually recruit individuals to run. That's left up to the state and local committees, Alan. But I will say this: demographics may change, and maybe there's more Democrats than Republicans. I do believe it is the case now, and has been the case, that people are not one-party line voters in New York State. As a matter of fact, we've had a long history in New York of ticket splitting. Whether you had Governor Pataki, you had Carl McCall and Elliot Spitzer. And you can look at that was pretty much the case for New York's history, because we do believe in a balance of power and authority and checks and balances in Albany, whether that's on a Republican-Democrat basis or an upstate-downstate basis. And I do think there is growing concern, and you can see it here with the workings of the Moreland Commission, that a one-party system doesn't serve the interests of the state, whether you're Republican or Democrat, that it's important to have checks and balances in government at all levels, Alan. So the idea that we're having a one-party system that is more and more controlled by Democrats out of Manhattan and running Albany government, I think that's a big issue that I hear around the state of New York, and that's whether you're Republican or Democrat, that they do believe in balance of power and authority in Albany. Not having it over the last several years has been probably a cause of the amount of news that we've had with respect to corruption and lack of accountability in our state government.
And let's take off from there. We have a couple of minutes on the legislature. We see, corruption charges, legal charges being brought against members of the legislature with whom you'd have to get along if you were, AG. Will you be afraid to take them on if that happens?
I wouldn't say I would have to get along with them. Yeah. That's not my job. I mean, I'm not looking to get an agenda done. I don't have the governor might have a political agenda, things that he wants to get done and has to make deals with the legislature. The attorney general doesn't have that. The attorney general is not accountable to the legislature, not accountable to the governor. It is an independent office with its own authority. So, I've had relationships in both the assembly and the Senate, but my job is not to make them happy. My job is to serve the people of the state of New York. I don't have a political agenda when I would come to Albany, Alan. It would just be to basically serve the interests of the people.
When you look at the legislature, are you happy with what you see?
No, I don't think anybody would be happy with what you see. I mean, I don't know how many people have been arrested, indicted, or pled to charges over the last, several years. No one can be happy with that. And we need to have greater accountability in Albany. We had a real opportunity with the Moreland Commission, and all it led to was another investigation, Alan. Clearly, we need something to change in Albany. And I think an attorney general who would take a much different approach to ethics and integrity in Albany would be a start to that.
And so what about debate?
I think it's imperative that the people hear the sides, and I'm looking forward to numerous debates during the course of the campaign with the Attorney General. I think the differences that we take to the office, I think, will be clearer, and I'm really looking forward to it. I hope for many of them.
Let this just be a formal invitation to you, John Cale, that WAMC, with its 26 radio stations and everybody else in on it who wants to get to, we would love to have the debate here, and we're making that that offer right now.
Well, I'll take you up on it. See what my opponent would say. I'd love to do it. I'm ready anytime, Alan.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Yeah, listen, we've been talking to John Cahill, the Republican candidate for New York Attorney General. It's been a splendid conversation, John. So glad that you were here, and we hope you'll come back again.
Really enjoyed it, Alan. Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. Online at nyscasa.org.